Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for March the 17th, 2025. We're in the Hebraic calendar month of Adar, and we're on the Irish day of celebration, St. Patrick's Day. So I'm going to ask, I guess I messed that up. I'm going to mute you if I'm hearing your background noise, so just be a heads up on that. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to come together in fellowship, in praise, in understanding, in as we press into your heart, press into your Holy Spirit, press into your word, and just hear what you have to say through the body of Christ this evening. Lord, we thank you. It's an exciting time, a time of great change, time of great upheaval, a time of great breakthroughs. There's good and there's bad. It kind of depends on where we perceive things. So we give this call to you. We lend our hearts to you. We ask you to guide and direct us. And just bless each and every person here on this call. That they receive an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, receive an outpouring of an understanding of your goodness and your grace. And we give you all praise, glory, and honor in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I want to start, if I may, with Scripture. And I want to go to Hebrews. So if you have your Bible in front of you, go ahead and turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, you're going to pick it up on verse 26. And I have the New King James Version here, and it reads this way. It's, "Hear the heavenly voice. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they do not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only earth, but also heaven." I'm going to mute you there, wireless caller. Okay, sorry about that. "Now then, yet once more indicates the removal of those things which are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Everything is being shaken. I don't know what it's like in your neck of the woods. We are here from across the country. But I know in my little town, we have some really crazy stuff happening. I mean, really crazy stuff. We've seen it in the Republic over the last month. We've had some really crazy stuff happen to just throw many into a spiral of what is going on. We thought everything was orderly, everything was unfolding beautifully, and then we start to find we have just a real strong division, differences of opinion, strong projections, strong apparent disappointments, betrayals, disappointments, setbacks. And I see that in my little town. Here we have two jurisdictions. One is our school board, and the other one is our city council. So last week on Thursday, council met, and there was a really testy subject on the agenda, and that is some people want to use the council to threaten the school board. Now, mind you, council are elected officials, and school board are elected officials. And there's those in town who've wanted to use the council to pressure the school board into their way of thinking. So big issue came up, and it was a matter of a sales tax that we've had in place here since 2016. And the whole community came out, and they were going to speak out against this thing, and the pressure on council was so strong that council says, okay, well, we're going to table this indefinitely. That was Thursday. So people who thought they were going to speak out passionately against it were tempered. They didn't have, you know, didn't have any pushback, so they just, you know, they didn't speak their concerns. Over the weekend, the council got wind that the school board was doing some changing of or just proposing a sale of one of the buildings or something. Council then had an emergency meeting on the Monday, and a 180 degree changed what they were going to do on Thursday. The town's in an uproar. It's a total confusion. Is council right? Is the school board right? Is this vindictiveness? Is this the hand of God? Is just so much, your head spins if you try to follow all the pieces of it, at least in my little town. It's just like, whoa. The best thing that any of us can do who are believers is to go to prayer. And so I want to talk about this in the context of we're seeing it in many ways. You, each of you, if I unmuted you, you can tell me things that are going on in your world that are disruptive. In those of you who follow the prophetic calendar, there's the His Kingdom Prophecy. It's a great resource. If you haven't been there before, you can type it into your browser. It's called HisKingdomProphecy.com. Now, there's prophecies from all over the world here, and they put them on the calendar or on a, you know, like on a chronological basis. And I want to read one from Sarah Angus. Now, Sarah was born in England. She moved to New Zealand. She's raising her three kids there. She's a missionary worker, an evangelist, a youth pastor, a chaplain. She's on a pastoral team, does counseling and preaching, all sorts of stuff, right? She's got a woman's ministry. Well, here's what she says at the time that we're in right now. She says, disaster is coming on the earth. Great disaster and great turmoil. Great wailing and confusion. Misunderstanding and turbulence. I have given my word as a sure foundation to stand on, for the waves are going to get much higher, and panic will consume those who do not yet put their trust in me. You must trust me at this time, and stand on the power and the authority of my word, and stand in the power of my spirit. Things that you have taken for granted will be removed without reason or explanation, and other things will take their place overnight. Do not stop what you are doing out of fear, but press forward in the things of my kingdom. Do not slow down or give up. Now is the time for increase, for harvest, for blessing in the midst of great trials. Do not stop loving and caring for those who are around you, for they need you even more at this time. There will be a beautiful revelation of my grace in the midst of the storm. I am with you in the boat, and I will silence the storm. The end is not yet, for there is still much to be fulfilled. Keep your eyes fixed on me, and hold on to my word. The references, she's going, scriptural references there, if you want to look them up, are Isaiah 33:6, James 1:2-4, Isaiah 41:10. And Matthew 8:23-27. So I'm on, I think I was on YouTube today, and I caught an article where the new secretary of, your public relations secretary, you know, so the one who speaks to all the press. So President Trump asked her to go check out a court hearing that was happening in the D.C. court on a religious on religious discrimination. So she goes into court. She's there to take notes and be the eyes and the ears for the president. Well, she comes in wearing a little silver cross on her you know, on her blouse or whatever. It just sent the judge ballistic. And so anyway, there was people in the court, and all the attention eyes went on her. It wasn't, she wasn't before the court. She was just there as press for President Trump. And there was a lady there with a bunch of jewelry and stuff, all just really gaudy. Another guy with a T-shirt with all sorts of, you know, I am the king stuff on his T-shirt. And apparently there is a decorum that you're supposed to have in the courts in D.C., dress code and whatever else. So the judge fixes his eyes on her cross, and he gets absolutely irate with her. He challenges her. She says, "Well, I'm here at the for the press corps. The fact that I'm wearing a cross is my First Amendment right." And the judge said, "No, you're not. No, it's not. You're in my court, and that is a statement of religion or something like that." And he says, "I'm fining you $500." She's just cool as a cucumber, challenges this judge, challenges him with some court cases. And it takes this liberal judge very graciously. She wasn't offensive to him, but she didn't back down either. The long and the short of this case, and the reason I'm sharing it with you, is that she was sent on a mission by the president to report on a trial or on a trial case there. She got fined $500. She stands up to the judge. He further tries to get her for contempt of court or whatever. And she says, "I just have a few things to add, put on the record," because he was trying to dismiss her with a gavel and her $500 fine. And by the way, she had to pay it that day before she left the court. So she put some things on the record and put some court cases and cites in. She just dresses this judge down, so much so that the court reporter and the bailiff are like totally astounded and thrilled at what she did. Anyway, it makes Twitter, it makes, you know, people have their phones out or whatever in the courtroom, even they're not supposed to. And she gets hundreds of thousands of hits on this thing. And the point about it is, God moved in a simple statement of a cross on her blouse to transform the courts in D.C. They changed it. They put a sign up to say that religious freedom is preserved in this court. It was just thrilling to see that one statement, she was available. She walked in. She was doing her job. She reiterated to the judge, "I'm doing my job. I'm here at the behest of the president." And for all the pushback that the judge gave, it caused him to go before review. He was fired. The courts changed. They started training new laws on First Amendment in the D.C. courts. And all this happened because she stood her ground graciously, didn't back down. And so I say that we are in a time of great change. You can expect to be used by God in all sorts of ways. And so I encourage you to be bold in the space he's put you, and expect that breakthroughs are coming, and they're in our favor. Another thing happened this week that I want to reflect on, and I'm part of a church which has like 10 campuses around the country. Dwayne Sheriff was the head pastor. Now his son's the head pastor. He's one of the teachers at Charis Bible College. He's also one of the board members. Anyway, his son came. Well, he was coming from Durant, Oklahoma, up to Woodland Park, Colorado. You know, generally it's a day drive, but the weather was so bad that the winds were so strong, things were so crazy, semis were blown over, so they stopped halfway. Well, at the same time, you know, he thought he had his sermon prepared and all this, and God prompted him to change his message. And the change in his message is really an encouragement for all of us. And I want to just piggyback on it a bit here with what I see as well. But I'm going to take us first to Luke. Let's go to Luke 5, and let's look at what Jesus says in verse 16. Or what Luke says about Jesus in Luke 16. It says, "So he himself, often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus often withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. My challenge to each of us is, in the storms we're facing, in the great upheaval that we're facing, how many of you are intentionally taking time to withdraw into the wilderness and to pray? You know, if we desire to be like Jesus, we need to also look at how he spent his time. And if he often went to the wilderness to pray, do you take time to step out of the busyness of your world, out of the busyness of what your obligations are, and just be still with God? One of my favorite verses is out of John, because it really has taught me over the years that we can't do anything without God moving in and through us. We can't build anything. All of our efforts are of naught if we're not allowing God to move in and through us in his timing. John 15:4-5 says the following: Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. How many times do we think we have in our own strength the ability to do something? If we do it by sheer will or sheer force or determination, you know, if it's meant to be, it's up to me, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and try to make something happen. And, you know, if it's not in God's timing and it's not what he is calling us to, it's not going to come to very much. Matthew has when you're ready to get to that point in your life, Matthew 11 speaks it out beautifully. And in verse 28 to 30, the New King James puts it one way and the Message puts it another. And if you blend the two together, at least for me, it tells you the heart of Jesus. Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And he discloses here his nature. He says, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Bible language, a yoke was what you put on an oxen. And a yoke, if it fit properly, didn't chafe or hurt the animal at all. So it was a specialty carving that happened when you made a yoke to fit your particular oxen. And the Message puts it in really, really nice terms as well, in my opinion. He goes, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How many of you know of a preacher and a prophet? Her name is Heidi Baker. Heidi Baker has a ministry. She's got a wonderful ministry in Mozambique. She's an American. Well, I was watching a little testimony of hers recently, and it's so sweet. She's the sort of She was in D.C., Washington, D.C., well, I guess Washington City now, and she was invited to visit this prophet. Well, I don't know if you know her, but she literally feeds the 5,000. She will fast and pray, and God will manifest through her and her ministry food that wasn't there, or food that was like a loaf and two fish, or two loaves and five fish, or whatever, however the numbers are. She literally does what Jesus does, and is powerful to the rest of the prophetic community. You look at Heidi Baker and you go, whoa. Well, she says this. So anyway, she was very cute about how she shared her experience. She says, so she goes to Washington, D.C., and she was invited to see a prophet. She goes, I don't want to go. I want to go home, home being Mozambique. She says, I already hear from God. I don't need to go to somebody else to tell me what God's going to say to me. And so she says how her husband and her son stole her passport. So it compelled her to go see this prophet, right? So she wasn't happy about it, not happy about it at all. She was moaning and groaning and complaining. I don't want to go see a prophet. I want to go home. Give me my passport back. That's illegal. Anyway, so she arrives at this prophet's home. Now this, I want to just back up to tell you, this YouTube little story she's telling is an urgent message to the church. So you expect something from Heidi Baker. It's like, whoa, if she's got something to say, you really want to pay attention to it, right? So she arrives at this prophet's house, and she sees this prophet. He's chubby. He's got an ill-fitting sweater. It's like purple sweater, and it bulges at his, you know, at his belly or whatever. And she's going, really? I've spent a third of my life fasting and praying, and this chubby prophet wants to talk to me? So she's kind of, you know, a bit skeptical about the whole thing. Well, while she's there, somebody knocks on the door and says, hi there, God told me I was supposed to make these cookies. So they hand the basket of cookies or whatever to the prophet, and they leave. So he's just, you know, he's got this humorous little laugh or whatever. He goes, here, Heidi, have a cookie. And he's got this little, you know, grin or this little light laugh about it, whatever. He goes, go ahead. God wants you to have a cookie. And that's just so blowing her out of the water. She says, we don't have cookies in Mozambique. We don't do that, you know. So she goes, how is this God? You know, I fast and I pray and I'm really serious about everything I do. And you want me to have a cookie? So she has a cookie. And the pastor's laughing with her. And she's like incredulous. She's going, he's saying, you know, God is a God of abundance. He's lavish. He's extravagant. Go ahead and receive from him. And that's just so out of the box of an indulgence for her. The idea of having a cookie that's got, you know, sweet or cooked, got sugar, whatever else in it. So anyway, so she has this cookie and she's now being struck with the grace of God and the love of God towards her. Through a cookie, he stops her in her path, won't let her go to the airport, says a prophet wants to speak to her, and the message the prophet has for her is, have a cookie. She's like, really, just like, she takes things seriously, right? So she's like, wow, God, you just love me so much that you would bless me with this cookie. So the pastor goes, here, go ahead, have another one. He says, God is a God of extravagance. So I say all that to say to all of us that we get really serious, we get really austere, we get really thinking that we have to perform for God, that we've got to be the, we've got to be on our game so that God uses us, blesses us, whatever, you know. And so her message was one of how undone she became by the love of God through a prophet who called her out of her way, out of her usual routines, and said, God wants you to have a cookie. So it ties into our calendar this month. And, you know, I've kind of talked here for a little while. I almost feel like, Bruce, could I, do you have the calendar in front of you? And if you do, would you consider reading the today's article in it?
I will in a moment.
You will in a moment. All right. I'll introduce it. It's Kathy Pelton. And the title of her article is God is Releasing Hidden Treasures.
Be patient. Be patient.
You know what I'll do while you're doing that is I'm going to play a song. Today is St. Patrick's Day. And St. Patrick. Aye, St. Patty. Yeah. You know, if you're a good Catholic, you know, you always had to learn St. Patty's songs, right? Well, the Celts and the Irish, they have such a sweet disposition. And so this lady, her name is Rita Connolly, is singing one of the excerpts from his prayer, St. Patrick's prayer. We'll get that later. But it's called The Deer's Cry.
I arrived today through the light of sun, radiance of moon, splendor of fire, speed of lightning, swiftness of wind, depth of the sea, stability of
The floor is yours, Brother Bruce.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Title of Kathy's article is God is Releasing Hidden Treasures. An invitation to the shores of grace and the riches of Christ. Have you ever picked up a seashell and listened to what sounds like the roar of the ocean waters from inside of it? For me, it brings back childhood memories of finding a beautiful treasure on the beach and then experiencing the wonder of hearing the sounds of the sea within it. Did you know that you are invited to walk on the shores of grace and find the treasures of heaven each and every day? I love the first couple hours of my day. It's my quiet time to walk upon those shores and to find these heavenly treasures. Some days, it is just a time to bask in the Lord's peace and truth, while other days I find a treasure like the seashells that I'll find in my childhood. When I find one of these spiritual treasures, I will put my spiritual ear to it so that I can hear the sound of His beautiful voice. Some days, it is the voice of His love. Other days, it's the sound of His strength that comes to gird me up. And still other days, it is His counsel and wisdom that have come to set my feet upon the right path for that day. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians 2:2-3. She continues with, my daily time with the Lord is where all of my riches get stored up, eternal riches. It is where I go, I get to know Him intimately and personally. This is where I put my ear upon His chest and listen for the sound of His voice. This is also where I get a daily glimpse of the mystery of God through Christ Yeshua, our Savior and Lord. Never lose your childlike wonder. Often, as the years go by, people can begin to see their daily devotional times in the Word, in prayer, and in waiting upon Him as more of a discipline rather than a refreshing experience of encountering His peace and discovering the unlimited mysteries of Christ. Of course, there is a place of obedience and discipline in studying, learning, and praying, but we should never lose the childlike wonder of finding a treasure. Isaiah 45:3, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord. Eternal treasures are found in the secret place. She said, I have done a lot of counseling throughout my years in ministry, and whenever I hear that someone is dealing with a lot of doubt regarding their faith, I quickly discover that their personal time with the Lord and in His Word has been interrupted by the busyness of life. Let's look at Isaiah 45:3 again, which says, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know I am the Lord. The hidden treasures and riches reveal who He is, and that He is the Lord. We doubt because we have not sought the treasures found within the secret place. But finding hidden treasures requires the act of searching for them. Secret places are rarely found without seeking after them. There are times when we stumble upon the hidden treasures or secret places in the Spirit, but those are sweet acts of God's kindness and grace, like when I first found Him. I was not looking for God, but he was a treasure that was handed to me by his grace. More often than not, as someone who has now walked with him for 43 years, I find his treasures and secret places within my intentional times set apart to be with him. It is like having a daily place where we meet together. I'm strengthened in my faith each time I go to meet with him. Seek first the kingdom. The pursuit of money, image, and temporary things have become a far greater pursuit in most of mankind than the pursuit of the eternal treasure of Christ our Lord. The pursuit of temporary things leaves so many empty, and true happiness of true happiness, and drains them of strength. God is inviting his people to pursue eternal treasures. As we make time for this, all other things will be added to us. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God admonished Timothy in this way as well, in 1 Timothy 6:10-12. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. How tragic. We have been given the privilege and admonition to pursue the one who was pierced on our behalf and carried out all the griefs, all of our griefs to the cross. As we do, all that we need will be added to us. But if we neglect the pursuit of our eternal treasure, we will find our hearts wandering away, and it will bring with it many griefs. Childlike faith is found in those who have walked upon the shores of grace and found the hidden treasures of eternal life. He's calling us back to those shores, back to the place of putting our ear upon his chest to listen once again. He's waiting for us in the secret place of his love. This is where the doorway to abundant life is opened up before us. End of word.
Do you have a word you'd like to add to that, brother? What's God put on your heart this week?
Well, amen. Actually, what it is a continuation of what I brought forth last week, and this is, you know, seeking the secret place of God and his beauty and his righteousness. And I spoke, and this may seem a little off the subject, brother, but I spoke last week about dreams, vision, and parking lots. And there was an article that I came across, I believe yesterday, about the Amazon. Amazon forest cleared for a road to carry the globalist elites to the climate summit. Everybody is clamoring for the climate. Anything but God. They're clamoring for climate summit. So here it is. A new four-lane highway requiring the decimation of tens of thousands of acres of protected Amazon rainforest is being built to carry globalist elites to the COP30 climate summit in the Brazilian city of Belém. The BBC reports the aim is to ease vehicle traffic to the city, which will host more than 50,000 people, including world leaders, at the UN-sponsored conference in November. COP30 will also see the usual thousands of attendees flying in for the occasion. Critics are quick to point out the sheer hypocrisy of this deforestation, as it contradicts the claimed purpose of a climate summit. Along the partially built road, lush rainforest towers on either side, a reminder of what was once there, logs piled high in the cleared land, which stretches more than 8 miles through the rainforest into Belém. Diggers and machines carve through the forest floor, paving over wetland to surface the road, which will cut through a protected area. The state government infrastructure secretary listed this highway as one of 30 projects happening in the city to, quote, prepare and, quote, modernize it so, quote, we can have a legacy for the population and, more importantly, serve people for COP30 in the best possible way. Speaking to the BBC, he said it was a sustainable highway and, quote, an important mobility intervention. He boasted it would have wildlife crossings for animals to pass over, bike lanes, and solar lighting. New hotels are also being built, and the port is being redeveloped so cruise ships can dock there to accommodate excess visitors for a several-day conference. And the song last week, they paved paradise and put up a parking lot. And to bring it back to Kathy Pelton's word, you know, we have a tendency to sort of pave over paradise by ignoring the Lord and doing the things we want to do rather than seeking His face, getting His heart, and enjoying His goodness and faithfulness and mercy. So God help us all to seek His heart and hear His word.
Well, Bruce, I was going to play a shofar, but after that little introduction.
Pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot.
All right, we get the message. Oh, my goodness.
Give a shout back.
Hallelujah. God reigns. Well, you know, Bruce, if this wasn't a prayer call, I would say I totally, what you're bringing to light and what I have seen in something called Primary Water Institute, we are being made to think that these globalists have it all figured out and they're building, you know, a better bridge to the future. And, you know, on so many levels, and they say that, you know, with water, we have to contain it and we got to recycle our waste and we got to drink our own poop and dishwashing liquid, you know. And this professor or this scientist is saying, that's not at all. We are known as a water planet. There is absolutely plenty of water on the planet. I think you have to go down deeper than what we have as our aquifers. But it's like there is so much water, pure, pure water on the planet. And they're made us, they make us think like they ration it and control it in this. There's like it, we're living in two realities. We're honestly living in two realities on our planet today. And I really believe that we're not at the end. God's making a turn in the road here. These folks are being exposed. And so thank you for that. Thank you for that insight. I want to say to those of you who have are new to this call, we take communion together. So if you would like to get some bread or cracker, some wine or some juice, and prepare that, a little later on in the call, we will be taking communion together.
Robert, may I share something following what you just shared?
Absolutely. Linda, go ahead.
I agree with you. The spirit of Haman is trying to control things, trying to destroy things. And we, as the children of God, need to do our part to take authority over every demonic spirit and spirit of Haman. They are going down. That's what we're seeing. That's why it's been being, quote-unquote, advertised. And so this is the month of Esther, and we can continue to rejoice and praise God that Haman is going down and God's children are coming up higher, and he's going to allow us to do what he wants us to do. Jesus is coming back to the earth at this season in his body that's going to rule and reign and glorify him. So that's all I had to say.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, well, where did I want to go next? Mark Tomaszewski, are you on the call or did you get called off?
No, I'm here.
Oh, you are. Okay. You had shared with me you had something on your heart you wanted to share this evening, so you have the floor.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Is my volume good right now?
Your volume's good.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I had something that I wanted to share. You know, over the last couple of weeks, a month, you know, there's lots of people that are posting here and there about spiritual warfare and the battles heating up and everything. And I totally agree with that. I totally agree that there is a heightened sense of spiritual warfare going on. But what I want to do is bring this down to practical level of me, you, and what you're going through in your life, what kind of things are happening in your life, and how are you handling them? Because I had a recent event that just happened to me 2 days ago that I wanted to share about. And my wife and I, in talking with other people, that we just love to get into people's hearts and say, how are you really doing? What's going on in your life? Is there anything we could pray for you for? Are you seeing breakthrough? But there's a lot of heaviness. There's a lot of people dealing with heaviness, whether it's financial relationships and things like that. And so I wanted to share this personal story because I think it was very relative, and I hope it relates to someone else. So I'm just going to share what happened to me 2 days ago about spiritual warfare. Around 5:00 on Sunday morning, I woke up violently from a terrible dream. And I want to tell you that story. It was not good. It was frightening, scary. I don't normally dream much, but lately I've been praying, Lord, give me some dreams. I want prophetic dreams. And so this was very different. It was frightening. It was scary. I saw someone get hurt really bad, like violently. Suddenly hurt beyond repair. Someone I know and love very much. It was so real, and it seemed so real because of what I felt. My heart was racing. I was almost panicky, yet I knew it was a dream. But it seemed so real. The image was so real that my physical body had a reaction. And the images I saw in my dream are just stuck there in my head, and I couldn't seem to get that terrible image out of my head. I'm half asleep, and my brain is racing. What was that? I was traumatized, and it was a dream. So I questioned, where did this come from? I mean, it was out of the blue with a person that I know, yet I've not talked to them in 2 weeks. So I was like, what is going on? What is this? Was this from God trying to tell me something or show me something to come? Is this John 16:23, the spirit of truth, whatever he hears, he will speak and he will show me things to come? I mean, did it already happen to this person or is it going to happen? And am I the one that's supposed to pray against it? am I supposed to pray for this person while I'm still shaking physically from the dream that I saw and I'm traumatized? Was it some sort of prophetic dream that I have to figure out what to do about it? I mean, what if I guess wrong? My mind was reeling. Then I thought, oh, that was just from the enemy, the devil, just trying to scare me, freak me out. Well, what if I'm wrong? What if it was? What if it was the Holy Spirit trying to warn me of something? Oh, boy. So now I'm wide awake. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. It's early, and I'm trying to figure out what just happened. And then I realized, wait a minute, I'm not happy because this is someone I know and love who got seriously hurt. And the visible damage, I'm going to fight this. I have no peace about this, and I'm going to stay in faith. But was I in faith? I mean, I was terrified, but what I saw in the physical and emotionally attached to this person, but am I still in faith? If I want to be in faith and pray against it, I decided to ask the Lord because I know that God is good, and he will tell me. So I calmed myself down. I said, Lord, was that you? I mean, help me. It's early, and I'm rattled. And he said clearly, no, it was the enemy to scare you, to get you to be in fear and out of faith so that you will cower, quit, and retreat. Do you hear that? Cower, quit, and retreat. And I said, okay, Lord, show me in your word. I know the Holy Spirit will bring to my remembrance everything Jesus had said. That's John 14:26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So I slowed myself down and I quietly prayed in tongues for a few seconds, and he quickly showed me a picture of Jesus asleep on a pillow in the middle of a rainstorm. I thought, oh, I know that story. So I went to Mark 4:37. Mark 4, verse 37 reads this, and I'm going to read to verse 40. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he, Jesus, was asleep on a pillow. And they, the disciples, awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Well, I looked it up in Luke chapter 8, verse 25, which is the same story. And Jesus said to them, Where is your faith? And it's right here where I stopped. He rebuked the disciples for being fearful. And I'm thinking, okay, these guys are seasoned fishermen. They know they're about to die. Isn't it okay to be a little fearful? I mean, come on, Jesus, don't you think you're being a little harsh on these guys? They were in the middle of a life-threatening situation. So I was having this conversation, and the Lord reminded me of another story in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 38. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child. And behold, the spirit seizes him, and he cries out, and it convulses him so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. Well, the story goes on. He rebuked the devil and it left. So here we are in the midst of another terrible situation. The disciples failed to cast out the demon because it was causing the child to spasm. And Jesus rebuked them for being faithless and perverse. Oh, man, that's kind of harsh, Lord. What is Jesus really saying here? Well, here's what the Lord was showing me. He is saying that you can overcome your fear. You can overcome your trembling, your shock, your trauma, your sadness, your depression by speaking his words of faith and life in the midst of that terrible situation that you find yourself in. And that is powerful. And I know some of you are saying, well, yeah, well, that was Jesus. you know, and I'm just little old me. And well, I'm glad you brought that up. Let's go to another story that the Lord brought me to me. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. That's Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So here's Paul preaching late into the night. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed, and they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. So I got to thinking about that. Well, why did Paul say to those folks, "Don't trouble yourself, his life is in him"? I mean, here they are in a state of shock, they, like I was in my dream. Were they troubled in their emotions? Yes, the guy just fell three stories and landed in dead. What's the moral of the story here? What's my point? Jesus said, "Do not let your heart be troubled." That's in John 14:27. He says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Do you hear that? Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's telling you that it's going to want to be troubled and it's going to want to be afraid. So I realized that in this dream, or the dream, that it kind of sent like shocks through my mind and my soul. But then I realized it didn't touch my spirit, my born-again spirit, which is has the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, living inside of me. And I just said, "You know what? Thank you, Lord, because your word always, always has the answer." Jesus said in Mark 9:23, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And after I read through all this, I had total peace. And what happened in that dream was an attack on my mind, nothing else. So I got a little motivated. I prayed and I rebuked the spirit of fear. And man, I said, "God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Satan, you have no power here. You have no authority. I reject your words and the thoughts you put in my head. And I reject those pictures in my mind. I command them to leave now in the name of Jesus. That same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in me, and it's quickening my mortal body right now. And I am healed, strong, and well able to take the land that God has given me. No weapon formed against me prospers, and every tongue that rises up against me, I will put down." So I just got motivated. I just started praising God. "Great is his faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for bringing me peace. Man, thank you, Lord. Your word is always there to teach us and bring us to remembrance of what Jesus said, that in the midst of tragedy, you having faith can overcome and move mountains." So thank you, Lord, for bringing us peace. And, oh, man, it was awesome. As I went to bed that night, 15 hours later, right before I drifted off to sleep, guess what? The enemy brought the images back into my brain. I rebuked them, and I cast them out immediately and praised God for his faithfulness, and I focused on his words of peace, and I slept great all through the night. Not tonight, devil. Don't think so. And so I just wanted to share that with you. What the dream is doesn't really matter, because it was just a barking dog. I mean, the barking dog trying to distract me. But I wanted to share that with you people, that God has the answer in his word for your every problem. He has given you his authority, his peace, his words of power. And there is nothing that can stand against you. The gates of hell cannot stand against you. The revelation of Christ and his goodness for you. I want to encourage you, if you're going through any of those things that I mentioned tonight, whether it's a physical, financial problem, challenges with relationships, spiritual attack, find the word of God that applies to your situation and deploy your weapon, knowing that God is faithful and he wants to bring you through victory. Just like what Robert was saying a little while ago, you stay connected to the vine and you will bear much fruit, and that glorifies God. I think that's verse 8, John 15, verse 8. So stay connected to the vine, know his word, and deploy the weapon. Praise the Lord, and I thank you for that. Father God, right now in Jesus' name, I just declare the word of God is going to set free anybody who has these kinds of challenges as they seek you, Lord. Holy Spirit, bring to their remembrance your holy word, the word that gives us victory and gives us peace, and we can bear much fruit and glorify you. Right now, we just break off any of those sorts of attack on our brains or minds that's saying, you can't, you're not good enough. I know I say in the name of Jesus, you can and you are good enough, because Jesus paid the price. It is his strength, his victory, his sanctification, his redemption. He gets the victory and you get to bear the fruit. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Thank you very much.
Amen. Awesome. Preach, Mark. That was awesome. I think about the disciples in the boat, and the wind whips up and Jesus is snoozing. He's going, hey, what's all your drama, right? Just peace,
exactly.
Peace still. Thank you, Brother Mark. You know, something that's been on my heart for at least a week has been, I teach a class to a local group here, and I post it out there on Wire for anyone who's interested in following us on Zoom. But it's on history and the blessings upon the restoring of the covenant in America and to America. And right now, we're looking at Europe. We're looking at the influences of Christianity from the time of the Roman Empire, Constantine changing the dialogue from that of from a pantheistic culture to a monotheistic culture. He did it for his own interests and his own politics, but nevertheless, it was the birth of Christianity, and Christianity persecuted Christianity. Those in the Catholic Church, those in the Catholic Church persecuted those who were in the Protestant Church, those who started reading the Bible for what the Bible said to them, rather than having the church rituals take over. But out of that series, out of that time frame in the 5th century, there emerged Saint Patrick. Today happens to be the day that everybody celebrates, particularly those who have Irish affiliations, and also I think a lot in the Catholic parochial schools and stuff. But he's an important marker, not from what the politics of what was going on in the Catholic Church, but his courage and his fearlessness, absolute fearlessness in the face of attack. In fact, he prayed with his folks. He was called, I think he was born in England. He was taken away as a slave to Ireland. He was there for a while. He escaped. He came back to England, and then he got converted. His belief in God was very strong, and he felt God was calling him to go back and to actually preach to the people of Ireland. So they had enslaved him, but he felt the calling to go and to preach to Ireland. And the significant part about it is there's a prayer that he's famous for, and I think it's very It's so powerful that he was in a circumstance where they were going to attack his group or whatever, and he prays so fervently that by the time he finished praying, the enemy saw them as a group of deer, like fawn. He literally changed the environment so much so that they were, when they looked upon him, they didn't see him or his men. They simply saw a deer. And I'm trying to find it on my computer so I can read you his, it's probably this one right here. No, it's not that one. Must be this one. Well, I don't know where I put it. It's a great folklore. Where is it? Okay, well, maybe God doesn't want me to read it. Or the devil doesn't want me to read it. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay. Where is your prayer, St. Patrick? I know it's here. Let's see. Nah, I'm at the same point. Okay, well, maybe I'll get it here a little later. But I bring him up because we have folks who have gone before us. And yes, our Christian faith has spread out into many branches. You have Catholic, you have Protestant, you have Episcopal, you have the East, the Coptic Church in the East. You've got the church divided away from Catholicism into, you know, Calvinism and all sorts of other denominations. But the core of it all is Jesus Christ. Now, some of it that you have used Jesus politically and have perverted. We see it in our studies of how the Catholic Church and the Jesuits have really perverted the message of Jesus and caused great tragedy in the body of Christ. But nevertheless, we're seeing out of it strong that God is faithful to deliver his people, reveal his word, reveal his nature, despite how man wants to try to manipulate it. So I'm really bummed that I can't find, oh, there it is. I found it. Here it is. All right. So it's called Patrick's Breastplate. And the power of what he says, I want you just to drink it in. It's based on Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. And his boldness in the face of adversity, I want you to really pay attention to. He says, I bind me today the strong virtue of the invocation of the Trinity. I believe the Trinity is a unity in the unity, the creator of the universe. I bind to myself today the virtue of the incarnation of Christ with his baptism, the virtue of his crucifixion with the burial, the virtue of his resurrection with the ascension, the virtue of his coming on the judgment day. I bind myself today the virtue of the love of seraphim, in the obedience of angels, in the hope of resurrection unto reward, in prayers of patriarchs, in predictions of prophets, in preachings of apostles, in faith of confessors, in purity of holy virgins, in deeds of righteous men. I bind to myself today the power of heaven, the light of the sun, the brightness of the moon, the splendor of fire, the flashing of lightning, the swiftness of wind, the depths of sea, the stability of earth, the compactness of rocks. I bind to myself today God's power to guide me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to teach me, God's eye to watch over me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to give me speech, God's hand to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to shelter me, God's host to secure me, against the snares of demons, against the seduction of vices, against the lusts of nature, against everyone who meditates injury on me, whether far or near, whether few or with many. I invoke today all these virtues against every hostile, merciless power which may assail my body and my soul, against the incantations of false prophets, against the black laws of heathenism, against the false laws of heresy, against the deceits of idolatry, against the spells of women and smiths and druids, against every kind that binds the soul of man, every knowledge that binds the soul of man. Christ, protect me today against every poison, against burning, against drowning, against death wound, that I may receive abundant reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ at my right, Christ at my left, Christ in the fort, at home, Christ in the chariot seat, traveling by land, Christ in the stern, traveling by water, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks to me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I bind to myself today the strong virtue of an invocation of the Trinity. I believe the Trinity in the unity, the creator of the universe. St. Patrick. All right, we are at that time in our call for communion. So if you have your communion elements, I invite you to get them. And I asked Katie Dombrowski to lead us in communion. Katie, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chaplain Robert. The Lord gave me, just as an encouragement for people, if that would be okay, Psalm 37, and just a story about multiplication when you're doing the Lord's will. Going to a black church in Detroit, Michigan, for many years, we had funerals every week for a while there, and our pastor was always faithful to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because a lot of people only came for funerals, and we wanted them to be saved in heaven. So Psalm 37, that such be blessed shall inherit the earth, and shall they that shall be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord Yahweh, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been old, young, and now old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. And one of the key verse there is the seed begging bread. And what happened at the funerals was the lady always made about 100, and sometimes we'd have 200 or 300, and we always had leftovers. So praise the Lord, because the pastor was faithful. He didn't ask it to be multiplied, it just happened. And so with that, I'll go into communion. The Lord... the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, for not only the forgiveness of our sins, the full atonement and redemption, and that's 1 Corinthians 15:1-6, but also Isaiah 53:3-5, by his stripes we are healed, body, soul, and spirit. So I praise God for that healing. And the complete healing. And then I'm going to go to communion. And I'm going to go to, again, one of my favorite passages for communion is to remember the covenant and the instruction from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me. So we see the Lord's body again in Isaiah 53, that it was broken and beaten and by his stripes. And when you look at Chaplain Robert knows, at my house, I usually have a matzah for which is pierced and striped when I do communion at my house because he's been there. So thank you. And we just take the communion and remember our Lord Jesus, what he went through for us more than any man. He suffered all the sins and anguish and the sin, and the anguish that Brother Mark was talking about, and that's in Isaiah 53, too, that anguish was put on him, so we don't have to suffer it anymore. In Isaiah 53, I just had it. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's what he did for us, Brother Mark. And we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God. And by his wounds we are healed. So we take the breath and we thank Jesus. Then 1 Corinthians 11:25, after the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, and this is on when he is going to be the Passover lamb, the sacrifice, the lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. This is a testament in my blood, and that is a new testament and a new covenant. And they said, this do ye as often as you drink in it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. For whosoever shall eat this bread or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat the bread and drink that cup. And so we drink the cup of redemption, and it's also during the Passover meal, the cup of acceptance of the new covenant, which Jesus purchased for us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for that. And we take this cup of the new covenant and accept it and receive it in Jesus' name and for the glory of God. And we thank the Lord that he didn't just die, but he was resurrected the third day, so that we know, and everybody else knows that his sacrifice was accepted by the Father. First, the temple curtain was rent from top to bottom, Matthew. And then he was resurrected on the third day, just like he said he would be. And we thank you for the promises. We thank you for the gift of forgiveness. We thank you for the gift of healing. And we just want to give you all the praise and glory, Yahweh, Abba. In Jesus' name, amen. Ah!
Hallelujah. Thank you, Katie.
You're welcome. Thank All you right. for the pleasure.
Alyssa, out of New Jersey, what's on your heart this evening?
Sorry about that. Couldn't get it on. Well, do you think I could say a prayer?
Absolutely.
Thank you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' holy name, Heavenly Father, we praise you for your Shekinah glory, for being our rock and our Savior. We sing praise to you, Almighty Father. Abba, we come together tonight to humbly ask for your continued love, forgiveness, patience, your mercy, and your grace. In Jesus' name, Heavenly Father, we praise you for your goodness, your counsel, and your instruction. Help us, O Lord, to be quiet, obedient, and to listen to your Holy Spirit for your knowledge and wisdom. Provide us your discernment to identify your children and to separate out the enemy's infiltrators as we stand up every state across the nation. This is your land, Father. We are your heirs to this nation, the Republic for the United States of America. Those of us who remain steadfast for this Republic present ourselves to the courts of heaven as your servants to your people. As in 2 Chronicles 19:5-7, we pray for your mercy and grace as leadership strives to represent you, Father God, in all our decisions. May we fear the Lord and judge with integrity. In 5-7, your word says, he appointed judges throughout the nation in all the fortified towns, and he said to them, always think carefully before pronouncing judgment. Remember that you do not judge to please people, but to please the Lord. He will be with you when you render the verdict in each case. Fear the Lord and judge with integrity. For the Lord our God does not tolerate perverted justice, partiality, or the taking of bribes. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we prostrate ourselves before you, O Lord. We humbly ask you, Heavenly Father, make us all your trustworthy servants, as in Exodus 21 says, but select from all the people some capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,100, 50, and 10. Protect President Geiger, who you chose to be elected into his presidency, as Moses requested from you in Numbers 16-17. You placed in the hearts of your trusting children to elect President Geiger when the Republic's interim president, Tim Turner, was stolen like a thief in the night by your enemy. In Numbers 16-17, Father, Moses said to you, O Lord, O Lord, you are the God who gives breath to all creatures. Please appoint a new man as leader for the community. Give them someone who will lead them into the battle, so the community of the Lord will not be like sheep without a shepherd. Heavenly Father, we praise you, Heavenly Father, for providing us your light and your word. In Psalm 112:4 says, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. Let us soak in your bath of Shekinah glory, Father, your light, your word, your truth. We take authority in victory over your land, Father. And one last request, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord, to send your Holy Spirit to breathe life into every leader and member in the Republic of the United States of America. Set us on fire with the Holy Spirit, as in Acts 2:4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Let your breath of life enter into our nostrils and lungs. Let our bodies, minds, and spirits be on fire for and with the Holy Spirit. And let us go forward in guidance, in guiding your children to your light and your salvation. And lastly, Father, in Jesus' name, we declare and decree this Republic will play a key role in the last days, as in Acts 2:17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. We declare and decree that by your grace, the leaders in the Republic will share your dreams, your visions, and your prophecies across the nation. From one end of the earth to the other, release the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let it sweep through the streets of God's nation now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. God reigns and God hears our prayers. John Underwood, what's God got on your heart this evening, brother?
Wow, I should have been thinking about that.
You didn't know Holy Ghost was going to call on you, huh?
Let's just have a little prayer. So, Lord, we just praise your name. Thank you for what you're doing in the earth. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that you give us even as we sleep and that you watch over us and give us victory over every attack of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we know from your word that Satan is a liar, and so we know that no matter how much he lies, it's still a lie. And the truth sets us free. We thank you, Lord, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. So, Lord, we pray that you'll, even in spite of all of the chaos that seems to be going on in the world, that you will sort it out and bring us the victory. And like I think one scripture says, is a strong right hand has gotten him the victory. So the victory is yours too, Lord. So we just praise your name. Thank you for the victory that you're bringing to this earth. And so we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. John, you've got me reminded of that song, Our Victory in Jesus. Da 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 da. Amen.
All right.
Thanks, brother. Mark Binder, how would you like to give us your closing thoughts and close us in prayer?
Thank you, Robert. I'd be glad to do that. Be an honor. My closing thoughts are that we need to find common ground, and we need to use the love that God gave us and the spiritual discernment so we're not wasting our pearls before swine. So we need to work a little smarter so we don't have to work a lot harder. That would be my assertion of where we're at right now. And I'd just like to go to Father in prayer, too. Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, thank you for never leaving or forsaking us and always being there for us when we call upon your name. We're so blessed to be living in this dispensation of time, the generation of the fig tree. When Israel became a geographic location and nation once again in 1948, and in 2017 when President Trump and the American people officially recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, as it should be. Shalom to all our brothers and sisters across the sea. So, Father, we need your help, strength, and guidance more than ever today as our nation are struggling to introduce righteous leadership and rebirth the constitutional rule of law, God-revering republic to take the place of the failed corporate democracy we were duped into accepting in 1871. So, Father, help us to right the wrongs that have unlawfully consumed this nation and caused division at all levels of society and in our churches. Open the eyes of your people to embrace the liberty and justice that was available to our founding fathers for a span of about 100 years. Help us to know, through those, the people that we listen to, that we can't fix the current government because its foundation is built on sinking sand, whereas our beloved republic is built on a rock known as Jesus Christ. So strengthen us in word, faith, and deed to follow through in doing what your word directs us to do as we continue to battle against evil with our gospel armor on and double-edged sword in hand, Father. Be with those who are saving women and children in tunnels and slaying subterranean giants. Be with patriots as they do not comply to medical, governmental, and corporate tyranny because it goes against the law of nature and nature's God. And we serve a higher power. So, Father, we are calling upon the name of the Lord God to save us in these times, and in the mighty name of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Yeshua will make these requests and reclaim our birthright. Father, we lift up those that are needing a healing energy, frequency, power, and light, especially Roger Waters and Gene Hertler and David Hertler, Heavenly Father, and others, our loved ones, people that are members of the Republic, and Christians and patriots all around the world. Heavenly Father, we ask you bring your glory and your presence into our lives and into their lives and wash us in the blood of Yeshua. Send your angels and encamp round about us until we return again next week. So thank you, Father. Give you all the praise and the glory for anything that we do that is right. In Yeshua's name, amen, and thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you all. I'm going to close out to I Arise Today.
The call that you put on. I know that you died and arose and ascended, and I know that you'll come in the skies, Lord, today I arise. I arise today with God's wisdom to guide me through all that He wants me to do, with His hand to defend me, His shield to protect me, His way goes before me in truth. Jesus, this day, be my strong protector from all that comes to destroy, from all that is evil and stands against me, all the falseness that snares at my soul. I will believe, I will receive the call that you put on my life, Lord. I will be strong, I'll carry on. Skies, Lord, today I arise. Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind and within, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in all of my being. I Lord,